Isaiah chapter 40, this is God's holy word. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the desert prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up and every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power. His arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Who has measured the waters in the hollows of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Who has understood the mind of the Lord, or instructed him as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him? Who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding? Surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fires, nor its animals enough for burnt offerings. Before him all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing. To whom then will you compare God? What image will you compare him to? For as for an idol, a craftsman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and fashions silver chains for it. A man too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. He looks for a skilled craftsman to set up an idol that will not topple. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown. No sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither. And a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name? Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord and my cause disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. In his understanding, no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary. Young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Well, the grass withers and the flowers fall. but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Well, as I mentioned, I'm not sure if it was being recorded earlier. The bulk of our meditation tonight on Isaiah 40 was presented to us, as I mentioned, at the conference this past week, as Jerry Bridges preached on those three great themes: the greatness of God, the holiness of God, and the love of God. And tonight, along the lines of what he taught us there, we're going to be considering tonight from Isaiah 40 the greatness of God. In verse 9 of Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah says to the people to whom he was writing, and it comes to us as well, Isaiah 40, verse 9, "Here is your God. Say to the towns of Judah," say to the people of God, "here is your God." Literally in the Hebrew, we could translate it as some English translations, to "behold your God." That is the most important thing we can do in this life. We can behold God. The word "behold" means, it's a word that is calling for attention, demanding attention. It's referring to something by saying, "look, see, understand, appreciate, behold your God." Well, as we do that, we ask the question, what is God like? We're asked to behold him. What do we see when we do? Boys and girls, you know the song, "Our God is so great, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do." That's a song that a lot of you children probably know and sing. I think it's a great song because it's in keeping with many of the Psalms of the Bible. Psalm 48:1 says, "Great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise in the city of our God and his holy mountain." Psalm 95:3 says, "For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods." Psalm 96:4, that was the call to worship tonight. "For great is the Lord, and most worthy to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. All the gods of the nations are idols." The Lord is great. The writers of the Catechism, the shorter Catechism, tell us that God, the true God of the Bible, is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. When they said that God was infinite, they're telling us that God is beyond all limits. So he is beyond the limit of time. He is eternal. He had no beginning. He'll have no end. He is beyond any limitation of space. He is the God who is everywhere present. And so to be beyond all limits is to be infinite, not finite. God is infinite. He is beyond all limits. And that's hard for us to understand and hard for us to grasp because we are finite in every way. We have all sorts of limits upon us as human beings. So it's hard for us to grasp what it is like for a being to be infinite, beyond all limits. Even human language and human earthly physical examples would never be able fully to match the infinite greatness of God. Yet in the Bible, and here in Isaiah chapter 40, the Spirit of God does use human language, and it does use word pictures describing physical things to help us begin to grasp how great God is. So boys and girls, you have to understand when it speaks of God, even in Isaiah 40, it speaks in a way that we can understand, but we can't say this is what God is actually like. He's even greater than the great descriptions that we read. You have to understand that, right? He is infinite. So even the things that we're going to consider tonight, God is greater because these are just human words about physical things, created things, trying to get us to begin to grasp our infinite great God. We're going to look at just a few of the pictures tonight. Look at verse 12. "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand?" The hollow of your hand is what you see if you hold your hand out like this and turn it upside down. Keep your fingers together. You do that, boys and girls. Put your hand out like this. Turn it this way. What do you see? You see a little dip, don't you, in your hand. That's called the hollow of your hand. Mr. Bridges told us that one day he went into his kitchen and he went into the cupboard and got out a tablespoon measuring spoon from the baking cupboard. You know what a tablespoon is? He filled it with water and he poured it into the hollow of his hand. And he said he could hold a tablespoon of water in his hand. And then he took another tablespoon of water and began to pour it in. But as he began to pour it, the water started seeping in between his fingers. So he concluded that he could hold in the hollow of his hand, in the palm of his hand, about one tablespoon of water. That's what a human being holds in the hollow of his hand. What is God like? He has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand. Do you know how much water there is in the earth? All of the earth's oceans gathered together. It's very hard to measure that. The bottom of the ocean is very irregular. There are deep chasms. Man has never gone to the depths of the ocean. But some scientists have tried to measure that. The world ocean, all the oceans together, have an area of about 361 million square kilometers. The average depth of the ocean, they estimate, is about 3,730 meters, almost 4 kilometers deep. If you do the math, that comes out to a total volume of about 1,347 million cubic kilometers of water. Now, I wondered how many tablespoons that is. You can do amazing things on Google. You just type in cubic kilometers in tablespoons, and it does it for you. 1 cubic kilometer equals 6.76 times 10 to the 13, 13 zeros, tablespoons. And there are 1,347 million cubic kilometers of water in the ocean. And God has it, as it were, in the palm of his hand. Can you imagine how great God is? In verse 12, goes on. Or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens. The original says with the span. It gives that measurement. The span was the distance from a man's thumb to his pinky finger stretched out. It was standardized to be about 9 inches. That's the span distance, 9 inches. Imagine measuring a football field with your span. Going down 110 yards, however far a football field is, and putting 1, 2, 3, and trying to measure off a football field with the span of your hand and how long it would take you just to go across that field. Well, I wondered how far that is. 110 yards, 3,960 inches, 440 spans. You'd have to do that 440 times to go across. But the Bible tells us that God measured off the heavens with the span, as it were, of his hand. One span to God. Now, what is the breadth of the heavens? That's very difficult to measure. The diameter, this is what scientists lately have been saying, as much as they've been able to try to measure, the diameter of the observable universe is at least, one source says, 93 billion light years. Or 8.8 times 10 to the 26 meters. That's 8.8 with 26 zeros behind it. And that to God is like the span of one of his hands, the breadth of the heavens. In verse 15, Isaiah tells us, the nations are like a drop in the bucket. He moves from thinking of the created universe to the peoples in the world. You know, when we think of the nations, it's easy to become overwhelmed. Think of how many people there are. And then you think of all the things that are happening in nations and the power of some nations. So people get very concerned with what Iraq is doing. People get very concerned with what North Korea is doing. But how great is our God compared to these great nations? You know, what do we call them? Superpowers. Are they? Look at what God says. Surely the nations are like a drop in the bucket. You know what you're to imagine? A 5-gallon pail. And then you take an eyedropper of water and you drop one drop of water in the bottom of that 5-gallon pail. What is that one drop compared to that pail or bucket? You can hardly see it as you look in. That's what the nations are like to God, like one drop in a bucket. As of the 30th of May, 2010, the human population of the world was estimated by the U.S. Census Bureau to be 6,824,000,000 people. And to God, it's like that drop in the bottom of a bucket. He is so great. They are regarded, verse 15 continues, as dust on the scales. Do you know what scales are? They weigh things. Old scales used to be two pans on chains and a bar across with a fulcrum in the middle. You could weigh things. The nations, the great nations of the world, are like dust in the scale to God. And here Mr. Bridges told the story. I don't think he actually did it, but he had a twinkle in his eye. He was shopping for groceries one day. He said, imagine you're shopping for fruit or vegetables and you have to go up to the counter and they weigh them, don't they? They weigh them to see how much it weighs and then they have so much cost per weight and then you pay them. Imagine someone coming up to the weigh scale at the checkout and they're about to put their bananas or something on the weigh scale and they say to the cashier, wait a second. Would you mind carefully removing all the dust from the scale? I don't want to pay for dust. What would the cashier think? Or say, he say, well, that's a bit silly. What does that dust weigh? You can hardly see anything there. You're concerned about the weight of that dust. It's nothing. That's what the Spirit tells us. All the nations are like to God. They're like dust on a scale. The things that impress us and frighten us to God is like dust on the scale. In verse 17, he says they're less than nothing. Less than nothing. You see how to try to get at what God is like, it's beyond our understanding. What is less than nothing? It's a mathematical, physical impossibility. Nothing is nothing. How can there be less than nothing? But that's what the nations are like to God because he is so great. Verse 23 says that rulers, mighty men, are brought to nothing. He blows on them and they are gone. God just has to go, whew, and the great men of the earth are gone. What did he do to King Nebuchadnezzar, who was so proud and said, look at great Babylon that I have built? God went, whew, and Nebuchadnezzar became insane, and he lived like an animal in a field and ate grass because God just blew on him. Think of all the great leaders of the world, the names that you know, and how they've all come and gone. The Lord blows on them and they're gone and their place remembers it no more. In verse 26, look at verse 26. Lift up your eyes and look at the heavens. Who created all these? Who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name? Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. God is so great, he calls all the stars by name. How many stars are there? I looked on space.com, website, space.com. Science writer Robert Britt had an article, The Imperfect Estimate. An imperfect estimate claims the universe has 70 sextillion stars. I don't even know what that number means, sextillion. This is the way he wrote. Astronomers announced today that there are 70 sextillion stars in the visible universe. Oh, here's what it means. Some 70,000 million, million, million stars. That's a sevenfold by 22 zeros. This figure paints an inadequate picture of the scope of the cosmos, however. This is not the total number of stars in the universe, said Simon Driver of the Australian National University, but it's the number within the range of our telescopes. The real number could be much larger still, he said. That's a lot of stars. And God tells us, the Bible tells us, that God calls them each by name. I don't even know the names of the kids on the soccer team that I coach. I have to look at their numbers all the time and see what I don't even know their names. God knows and names each one of the stars, 70 sextillion to begin with. You see how great God is. Remember that this is just human language and physical examples only pointing us to the true greatness of God, which is even greater than all this. Are you beginning to get a glimpse of how great God is? You know, I appreciate it so much because all Mr. Bridges did was says, well, look at what it says and think about it. Hollow of the hand, dust on the scale. He was helping us meditate on the Word of God for the purpose God has to see how great he is. But friends, think of this. If the true God is that great, wouldn't he be scary? Wouldn't he be scary? If the nations are scary, if the universe can be so big and scary, what about the God who is infinitely greater than both? Wouldn't he be scary? Well, yes, he is. Yes, he is. There's a real sense in which God is to be feared. The Bible tells us that. He is so great. We would be crazy not to be overawed by his greatness. But notice what Isaiah says before and after he begins to help us to understand the greatness of God. Look at verse 11. Isaiah 40, verse 11. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. His greatness is tempered by his gentleness toward his people, his sheep. Why is he so gentle? Though he is so great and powerful, yet he's so gentle. It's because he loves them. How could he love them? How could he love us? We need to understand God's holiness. That he is pure, he is light, there is no darkness at all in him. How could he love us when we sin and disobey so much? God's greatness alone would overawe us because we are finite. But his holiness causes us to tremble because we are sinful. And yet he's gentle to his people. Why? It's all because of Christ. It's all because of Christ. And if we are trusting in Christ, this great God and this holy God forgives us, gives us his righteousness. He loves us. He loves you if you're trusting in Christ. And though he is so great, he is gentle toward you. And then his greatness becomes something not to be scared of. It becomes something to rejoice in and to take great comfort in. Isaiah 40, 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends and the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. His understanding no one can fathom. So again, he's saying he is infinite. He is so great in his being and in his power. He never grows tired. Nothing is too hard for him, and he understands everything, other aspects of his greatness. But what does that mean for his people? Verse 29, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. What a blessing that this great God is gentle toward his people. And he upholds them and carries them and gives them strength from the infinite strength that he possesses and the infinite understanding. He carries his people along. So it's not just the water that's in the hollow of his hand. You are in his hand. And it's not just the stars that he calls by name. He calls you by name. Remember, Jesus is the good shepherd. He knows his sheep by name. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised.